So, what's on your mind this wonderful Monday?
On my mind is I'm not sure what we're going to talk about. I think we've been extremely busy lately, and I don't know how to change that. I will say I like sticking to trying to do meetings Tuesday through Thursday because I need a breather Monday and Friday to catch up and do other things, and then those days just seem to get filled.
How's everybody else feeling?
Busy.
Fine.
Fine,
It
busy.
is year end now too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is year end. So, what are you doing with your 24-month calendar? What's your topic for this year end?
Topic right now, ladies.
We've been doing kind of just a combination of a couple topics because they kind of flow into each other.
Depends on the
Yeah, it depends on the client. Just mainly checking their beneficiaries right now, online access and integrating outside assets, as part of their online access.
Right. And also been checking to see if they want to do any charitable donations from their IRAs.
Correct.
My topics have been Roth conversions, booking tax losses. See, we all kind of contact different clients depending on when I had the review. That's why we have different topics for different clients.
You're
Nice.
aware, everybody was aware of the advantage of converting a Roth this year because of the ability to this tax bracket versus maybe next year's tax bracket. Part of the CARES Act was giving them an opportunity to revoke their distribution from their required minimum distribution. There was also another part of it that some people missed, and you guys are probably not one of those, but that you can take up to 100% of your adjusted gross income with cash contributions to charities. And normally it's up to 60%. So for some of your clients who are doing 5-year commitments, they might want to accelerate that into this year to offset their income. So you're aware of that?
I'm aware we have one client who's pretty charitably inclined. I'm thinking of Schmidt. And I believe she already maxed out for the year on her charitable contributions for entries.
Yeah.
What does
She
that mean, maxed out?
that she's already gifted what she wanted to gift earlier. She has a set number of charities she gifts throughout the years, so and then she stops. So she did that earlier on in the year. She's the only one I would think that would maybe take advantage of that.
Yeah, I would specifically call her. Anybody that gives money regularly to charities. And they're always wanting to give stock and things like that. We're changing the end of the year from giving stock to giving cash. Okay,
100%.
so that it's a is it a big deal? It would make me mad if I didn't know about it. And so we don't want to, I have a saying that you always want to make your clients feel smart, and you never want to make them feel dumb. And
I think the key is reducing taxable income there, right?
yeah, well, let's say you've got $100,000 of taxable income, and you can give away $100,000 of cash and pay no taxes. Normally it's capped at 60%. So normally you could only deduct the, if you gave 100, you could only take 60,000 of it. This year you can take 100%.
If you put money into a foundation, Does it still count?
It counts. It just isn't as big a deduction if it's a private foundation, but if it's a community foundation, it's 100%. So if a person is thinking, gee whiz, I want to start a family foundation or I want to start a community foundation, this would be the year to do it. Be a good year, especially if they have cash. I mean, if it's, you know, if all they have is a bunch of highly appreciated stock and they don't have cash, then you just don't get the same bang for the highly appreciated stock. So it's really there for, you know, for the average person to encourage them to give money to charities. But boy, for a wealthy person, and they've, let's say, like I've committed for 5 years for scholarships, right? I'm kind of an idiot if I don't figure out what my adjusted gross income is going to be and match it up this year and give that cash away this year. And then I don't have 5 years to give it. I don't need to wait. See, I can get rid of that obligation. It's kind of like a mortgage. It's sort of fun to pay off early.
Yeah.
Especially since, you know, we've had a pretty good stock market, so they're feeling more rich, even if they don't have a lot of cash. People are even selling stock to give cash. Yeah. So it's a big deal, but nobody's talking about it. There was an article in Barron's this, maybe not this Sunday, the previous Sunday. I put it out on my LinkedIn site, but I don't know. Everybody I talk to is like, really? I'm like, yeah, you're in the business. I'm kind of your coach, but, you know, you're the CFPs.
Yeah, the CFPs. I've thought about it briefly, but not as the pre-funding for several years. I think that's a really good idea.
It's a really good idea.
Do it via, yeah. So when you say a community foundation, that would be like a donor advised fund.
Right. So let's say you want to start a donor advised fund, you put $1 million in it, you know.
Offset their income for the year and they can get that there.
Let's say they got a big income, right? They got $1 million income. They put $1 million in the thing. I mean, you know, you got people earning a lot of money these days, 600,000, 700,000. They start a family foundation or a community trust, a community foundation. You put 500,000 in it, which, you know, to those people, it's nothing. Boom. They're saving, you know, versus you're saving a lot of money. They get it in this year. Boom.
Yeah. I just jotted down six names.
Huh?
Great. I just jotted down six names.
And those are the kind of phone calls that they're not getting from their CPA because they're too busy and they're, you know, nobody's talking about it. But, you know, look, you have no idea what next year is going to bring, right? I mean, it's kind of weird right now. And we've done really well. And we've had, you know, what, 10 years of pretty good market. And people are making a lot of money. And you got this, you know, dichotomy of people doing great and people not doing so well. So it's kind of weird. It's a nice time to be sharing the wealth. So you know, from a.
No, I was going to say the feedback from CPAs just on the Roth conversions has been, wow, that is such a great idea. Let's, you know, they can't get over the fact we brought this to the table. I mean, you would think the CPAs would be bringing that to the table. So I think this is another great idea.
This is where, when I tell you to have your monthly call with a CPA, you really need to do that. I mean, just, you know, that's your center of influence. They're so busy. They don't even read, you know, I mean, it's so sad. And you can help them. You know, just, you can really help them. Estate planning attorneys, same thing. They're all over the place. They don't And sometimes they have really good ideas. And all you need is one good idea a year from somebody, and it's worth the phone calls.
Deal.
Yeah, even if you know, even if you're not really focusing on growing, having a network, a mastermind group that you just do this once a month with a bunch of your, you know, whether you want it mixed or ladies only or whatever you want to do, it's brilliant for creating new ideas. So, and it's so easy to do, Sue, now. I mean, and you can have them all over the country. So you don't need to think geography. You don't need to think, you know, my group is now everywhere. You know, I'm working on a charity, right? I'm working on trying to fix a problem. And I'm picking up people from my committees from all over the country. I don't care where they are. And we're doing Zoom calls, and you know, I'll have one general call for the planning committee, and then I'll have smaller committee meetings, and then we're adding new people to each committee. I can get something done like this that would have taken probably two years of hard work. I can do it part time and get it done in 6 months. I'm convinced. By the way, it's a wonderful thing to do if you ever get to the place where you're kind of bored with life and you want to help. It's really reinvigorated me. You know, I'm fired up. I really am.
Yeah.
So so I encourage you to, you know, it's one thing to get involved with, you know, the arts and then the heart ball or some diabetes thing, but when you really get involved in something you believe in that you can make a difference, wow, you go, that's cool. And yeah. It's not amazing. Not that hard.
Time. Need that extra time.
Yeah, you got to have the time. And I do, you know, and I'm picking on all these guys and gals that are, you know, recently, you know, that are 65, 70, that have plenty of brain power and nothing to do. You know, they're peripherally involved in stuff, but wasting their brains. I'm going to suck them in and make them work like crazy.
Yeah. Can't wait to be there one day.
it's seriously, it's, you know, they call it the golden years, but they truly are, as long as you maintain your health. Because it's really fun to make money, but it's five times more fun to give it away. And for people that aren't feeling like they're having trouble with their retirement, or they're having trouble with their COVID, tell them to get moving, get going on something that they believe in. Tell them to get, you know, get involved in a charity. It'll makes you feel good. It's got to be something where there's a serious problem and it needs fixing and nobody's around to do it. You know, they just don't care. Anyway, so I'm sort of an activist now. Kidding? I'm an activist. I used to be a philanthropist. Now I'm an activist. Anyway, so I listen to the news differently. Like, I was listening to the news on India and the amount of pollution in New Delhi. In Delhi, and what it's doing. Kids 5 years old have the equivalent in their lungs of a pack a day of cigarettes. Just from walking around. And we think we got issues with the environment, right?
Yeah.
That's not my idea. That's not my charity, but I was like, that's wrong. That needs to be fixed. Anyway, so so I think it is a good, you know, a wonderful time to be doing things that would have taken forever, and you can do them, bingo. You know, reconnect with people, get fired up, do reunions, do whatever. But I think it's an awesome time. And everybody's worried about the price of stocks. And are we too high? And should we raise cash? And how conservative should we be? And meanwhile, you got this crazy tech revolution going on that people are sort of aware of, but they're not. I mean, the whole world is being flipped upside down faster than we can even comprehend it. And most of us are just kind of watching. So don't worry about, you know, an imminent crash to the stock market. You know, we could have a 10% correction, which would be 3,000 points. But a crash, no, not because of the productivity increases we're going to get from all the different technology that we're creating that's happening at light speed. So, you know.
Yeah, the vaccination. I mean, what are they saying? By March, most should have it?
Incredible. Oh, yeah. The vaccine. And you know what they're, you know why we were able to get it so fast? Because they're all being built on platforms that they had built for cancer research. They're all creating antibodies. And the, you know, the new cancer research is all about creating antibodies, medicines that create antibodies and use your own body to cure your cancer. And so it was very easy to slide right over to a vaccine. So especially when you're throwing billions at them, they become very, very adaptable. So a lot of these companies that were pretty close to either filing for bankruptcy, or Moderna, for one, they had never had a product. Now they had a good platform, never had a product. And now, what are they? A, you know, multi-billion dollar company. And going to do even better, but it's going to mean that the success we have in cancer research has been accelerated by light speed. So all the money that these guys have got, once they get the vaccine squared away, they will use that money to plow into research for cancer and other issues, other vaccines and other things. But it will mean the continued acceleration of success in the bioscience world. So another, you know, don't think that just because you invested in Pfizer or Moderna or any of these other companies that the game is over once they get the vaccine. No, they have just been injected with jet fuel called money. And those, the results will be amazing going forward. You're even seeing it already in breakthroughs in particularly leukemia. So anyway.
Rob, in talking to other teams, are you hearing any good ideas on time management, et cetera? Some good ideas
fewer,
on just
fewer clients for you. Yeah. Your issue is too many clients.
Well, the crazy thing too is we haven't even put on the schedule those 100 clients or so that we initially gave away. They're not even part of the issue. But you're right. I have 150 that are in the calendar.
Too many. You need about 70. Sorry.
I know.
That's your answer. People always say, I have no time. I have no time. I said, I'll give you free time. I'll give you all the time you want. And they go, how? To just get rid of accounts that aren't paying you or aren't paying you what you deserve to be paid. And you may love them to death, but they are not helping your problem. And you can't grow when you're so busy servicing people that don't pay you. Okay. So either, you know, form a partnership, give them away, do something, but leverage is the name of the game in business. Lack of leverage lacks productivity. You know that. If you're going to say to somebody, my son is a carpenter, and he exchanges dollars for time. So he will never build wealth. He will pay the bills. He'll live paycheck to paycheck, but he'll never build wealth. You, on the other hand, charge a recurring fee so that when you go to sleep at night, you're earning money. And when you go to sleep at night, your portfolio's working and paying you dividends and growing. So when you're asleep, you have leverage. Things are paying you. My son has to be awake and doing things in order to get paid. Now, he can do a couple of different things. He can hire people to work for him to use his brain and their skills to do things that he knows how to do. And so he trains them to do it. So there's five people working for him, and they all do that. He can save his money and he can invest it in real estate or in stocks. Other than that, he'll be on the treadmill for the rest of his life and retire at age 80, working every day. Right? So you got a choice. You can maintain what you've got and be really, really busy all the time and frustrated, or you can declare war on being busy. And that means you do something about the problem and don't talk about it. I'm not real big on talking about problems.
Yep, me either. Solutions.
I either fix them or I stop talking about them. My brother talks about problems all the time. You know those people.
Yep.
There's doers and then there's talkers. So you set a higher minimum and you find a nice home for those people and you give them a big hug and send them on their way. They'll be fine and you'll be fine. You'll be much better. Then you'll be able to get bigger clients like your top clients and stop wasting your time on little people, which is fine. You can work on Saturdays and weekends to take care of little people. That's okay. But that's not what your skills are. Your skills are to work with people of wealth, and therefore you should do more of that. It's just time and math, okay?
Yep, I just need to be reminded of that.
And how crazy do you want to be? One of the skills that you got to teach your family, all of you ladies, is the ability to say no. Okay? When no means no, right? We all teach that. When no means no. But no means no to things that are making you crazy, too. And setting boundaries and deciding that this is my boundary for who I can work with. And no, I'm not going to work with them no matter what. I love you, but I'm not going to do you a favor. I'm going to do you a favor by giving you to somebody else. Now, if you think that person is going to come in with $20 million and can be a center of influence, then take them, you know, but that's the exception, not the rule. So the more better is better world is over. And now we work specifically for people that need us, like us, trust us, and want to do business with us and take very little time. So when we say you need to get online, they get online. You know, heavy service people are terrible. And we can't over-service clients.
The time killers.
Are we over-servicing clients? Or are we having them trained to wait for the monthly call?
Exactly.
I call, but I don't call my FA. I call one person on the team when I need something and they do it and it's great. Or I email or I text them. But I save everything for the monthly call. And you should have all your clients trained that way. So it's a training issue. They have to all be online, which is really ridiculous not to be. And they need to not call unless it's really, really important. Save it for the monthly calls. So that's a training issue. Be very nice. Always be client-centered. Always be really nice. But being client-centered means, hey, you're important when you have a real problem. If we're doing this stuff, we don't have time for you when you have a real problem. Okay? It's like calling 911. Every time they call, assume it's a 911 call and tell them that. This is a rapid response situation. 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. It's a crisis. Oh no. Just want to know what the bombing of the scientist in Iran is going to cause a crisis in the market and need to talk about it. Well, you know, we'll talk about that December 16th on your regular call. I'm sure nothing is going to change dramatically. So, you know.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Gene or Teresa, do you guys have any questions on how to handle that with clients, or do you find that difficult?
I think, you know, when they email, you know, a lot of times you just get emails of what they need, maybe at that point, trying to find the right response to how to handle that.
Email,
like they seem like, you know, they're looking for a quicker response. And we do a lot by email, probably more by phone. Unless, you know, more email than phone. So I don't know. Any tips on that? How to respond in an email to?
Well, you know, each situation is going to be unique and you got to use judgment. But if somebody, you know, your problem people, right?
More or less.
Yeah, well, make a list of your problem people that you think, you know, this person is just not nice, or they're too needy, or they're lonely, or whatever, right? They just want to talk. This isn't, you know, this isn't the helpline. So, yeah, make a list of the people that you think are an issue. You guys know. I mean, you know, this is the weirdest thing. I just read this and it's like, yeah, where have you been? They said most corporate problems can be solved by the employees within. No kidding. So you guys
are the employees that are making the changes, right?
They're not making the changes because they don't feel empowered or nobody's going to listen to them.
Exactly.
It's the last time they came up with an idea, nobody paid any attention to it. An interesting story. Right. Yeah, there was an employee at Sherwin
saw that.
Did you see that mixing paint?
They let it go, right?
Had a million people online watching him mix paint. They thought it was so soothing and cool. Took it to his boss and said, that's ridiculous. End up firing him. He went to another company and then he's got 2 million followers now. And it's just,
I didn't know he went somewhere else. That's great.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, are you kidding? So anyway, your problems can be solved by your team. But you got to feel like you can open up and say, God, you know, so this is how I feel. These are the five worst clients we have. Okay. And yeah, I know that one pays us the most. That's okay. We'll keep him. We'll tolerate it. Can we modify his behavior or her behavior? And then these, you mean this one's giving us problems? Yeah. Well, they don't pay us either. Oh, didn't know that, you know, because you don't hear about it, right? You guys are the first line of defense, so Sue doesn't hear about it. But you guys know who's taking the time. And if your time's being taken, then Sue's time's being taken, see? Because then you're not available for her.
Right.
So that's why when we say, well, we're going to keep that extra 150 clients, and it's not going to bother me, says Sue, but it is going to ruin your life, Teresa and Shannon and Jean. Okay. So that's the price. And yet we're going to lay on top of it 12-4-2 and rapid response and all the rest of this. Not fair.
Good. It's good info. So what I got from this today is leverage. I know the answer to being less busy. Just have to make a move. Listing my clients to possibly set up a charitable donor advised fund. Who are our problem clients? We need to list those and talk about them and figure out what to do. And then I wrote for myself, who is taking new clients?
What was that?
Who is taking new clients? I thought maybe that's something Shannon and I could talk about in the office, outside of the office.
Good, good. The solution is there. You just have to be creative.
Yeah.
All right. Just talk to Lewis. You know, he's good about helping and thinking and brainstorming. And so.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Yep. Thanks,
all
Rob.
Right.
Have a good Christmas.
Back to work, guys. See ya.
All right.
Have a good holiday.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.